Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's good to have a warm building to come to. We just thank God for that. Just like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning. And a special welcome to those watching via the live stream. I'm glad you can join in worshiping with us. Just greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who came and brought us hope. A hope and a joy that we can have in our hearts, even though we walk in a weary world. John 16:22, "So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy." Jesus is telling his disciples that after his resurrection, they will have a joy that cannot be taken from them. And we can have the same joy that they had. And we can have that in our hearts as we wait for Jesus to return once again. When Christ is in our hearts, we can have a joy and a peace that passes all understanding, even in the hardest trials and tests that we may face. So worship God this morning out of that joy, whether that joy is really small or it is gigantic. Let God increase that joy in your heart and in your life. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us. Fill us with joy, even if it feels like we have none. You are our strength and our shield. You are our joy. And as we worship you this morning, move in our hearts and our souls, filling us to full and overflowing with joy that comes from you, that it can spread in this place, to our community, to our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you all to stand if you're able this morning as we worship. invite the ushers to come forward this morning as we take our offering. There's also the My Coins count for the kids.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day that we can gather together to worship and honor you. You are worthy, you are holy, you are truth. Father, we lift this time up to you, and we also thank you for all of your blessings to us. We offer back but a portion of you for the work of the church, to support the pastors and the work that the church is doing here amongst us and in our community. We thank you again for this time, and we lift it up to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the breath in our lungs, the life of breath, hearts that beat, the ways our bodies are put together that only you could have created. Just pray that you come be here with us, that nobody here that came into this building this morning would feel alone, that even somebody that's never been here before this morning could be part of this community and feel welcome. Just ask you to continue to be here with us as Tony shares what you've given him to share with us this morning. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Can you guys make room? You slide together a little bit, make some room. There you go. Well, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good? You guys have a lot of energy or are you kind of sleepy? Sleepy? Well, you kind of seem a little sleepy this morning. You don't have as much energy as you normally do. Well, I have some pictures for you guys. And in these pictures, you can see more than one thing, okay? So, there's one. Look at that picture. What is it? How many legs does it have? Are you sure? How many? I don't know. I think every time I look at it, I see it different. Yeah, how many does it really have? I don't know. Yeah, here's another picture. What do you see in this picture? See, that says good, but what does it say in the middle? It says evil, E-V-I-L. So what did you see? Did you see good or did you see evil?
Evil.
It just goes to whatever your eye picks up. Look at the other one. Do you see two faces?
No.
Or do you see the pedestal in the middle? You see the faces. Yeah, see, each one of these things, you can see different things in them. What is that? A duck? Or is it a rabbit? How about that one? Yeah, a squirrel, a swan. What is it? I don't know. It's up to you. You can decide what it is. What is that? A seal. Some people see a horse head. If you turn it a little bit, you can see the difference quite easily. Now that one, there was like six things that went with that, and some of them were like, huh, I don't even see that. But what about this?
A manger.
A manger, yeah. Well, let's look again. Wait a minute. It's two dinosaurs fighting over a table saw.
What?
Huh? What? Look at that. What? See, look, there's the mouth, and there's the table saw. Yeah, see? All of these images, we see different things. How are we supposed to know what is right and what is true in our lives and everything that we face? So I'm going to use 1 Kings 3, 16 to 28.
That looks like a dinosaur on that one.
Yeah. As the base for our story, I'm going to change it a little bit, make it a little more age-appropriate. So King Solomon, he just became king, and God came to him and said, "Ask me for anything that you want." Well, King Solomon said, "I'm young. Give me wisdom and discernment so I can lead your people." Well, God gave him wisdom and the discernment that he asked for. So these two people each have a doll. Well, one person lost their doll, and they kind of took the other person's. So they were fighting over whose it was. They didn't know, other people didn't know whose it was. How are you supposed to know who lost their doll? Well, you don't know. So they went to King Solomon, and they brought this problem before him. And you know what he does? He says, give me a sword, we're going to cut it in half. That'll fix it, everybody will have half. Right? That's a good solution to the problem, isn't it?
No,
not really, because no one wins then. But what King Solomon was doing is he was testing the people. Because the person whose doll it really was had all these good memories and how they received it. And they didn't want it destroyed, so they said, no, don't cut it in half. Give it to the other person. And the other person didn't really care what happened to it because it wasn't theirs to begin with. And King Solomon said, aha, give it to the first person because it is theirs, because they didn't want it destroyed. He showed wisdom because God gave him wisdom. And we can have wisdom too. We can have wisdom from God's word, the Bible. We can have wisdom when we ask God and he speaks to our hearts, telling us which direction to go and what is right and what is true. And we can also gain wisdom from other people when they come and tell us something and it confirms what God has already been saying. And when we go to God in the small choices that we have to make in life, it's easy to go to him in the big things that we need. So you guys can have a snack. I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can head back to your seats. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for all these children. I just pray that you pour a blessing upon them, that they would receive your wisdom, and I just pray that they would come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's a snack over there in the bag.
So we're going to have a little history quiz here this morning. Does anybody know what happened March 14th of the year 2000? Well, it was Y2K did not happen in January 1st. So, but we had the 79th annual business meeting here at Bonesville, and Ken Whitmer would have welcomed everybody to the meeting. I'm sure you remember that, Ken, right? Like it's yesterday. So there was reports given, and then some new business was that some items from the floor came in that there was a concern about the puddles of the four entrances in the driveways, and the trustees were going, Wilmer Knoll, representing the trustees, were going to contact the township. Wilmer, did you do that? Okay. And there was also a concern that the women's restroom in the lobby area wasn't working right, and Wilmer was going to look into that as well. And then another consideration, there was a question raised whether the air conditioner that was stolen from the church office was going to be replaced. I didn't realize there was one stolen. But there was one stolen from the church office, and Wilmer also said that it will be replaced. So Wilmer had a lot of things going on there. But one of the main things that happened at that meeting is that Ken Whitmer presented the handout with the qualifications for a church secretary, the responsibilities and accountability for the new position of church secretary. And that position will be filled September 1st, 2000, and it was filled by Helen Becker. So Helen started as our church secretary in September 1st of the year 2000, and this past fall, she retired, and we as a congregation would like, Helen, could you come forward to receive a little gift that we have for you? The church secretary, when Helen was church secretary while I was deacon, the leadership teams would also often say, I don't know, let's ask Helen, or when I would have an announcement, I would trust Helen for her wording, and she always did a great job. So Helen, in here, it doesn't represent all the work that you did, but we thank you. There's tickets for two. I guess you'll take Len, maybe, to to Sight and Sound with some gift certificates for a meal. So thanks a lot.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate everything. And I think most of you know that Debbie is now our new church secretary, and that same work continues because she's the one that dug this out and found that when she started. So thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, as pastor, we are kept on track because the secretary keeps us on track, brings up all the things that we have to remember that we don't remember to do. Helen is very good at that, and Debbie as well, bringing all these things to our attention. As I was sitting in Sunday school this morning, I was thinking, wow, this Sunday school lesson just fits right in with our message this morning, with our sermon. And we looked at different traditions and things that we had going on in our church and areas that we see around in our lives, and it fits in really well with our sermon this morning. I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers for my family and myself. They're very important. Those prayers offered to God on our behalf, they carry us through difficult things that we face. They have a tremendous impact that we may never know what that impact was. I'd like to thank Sheldon for filling in for me last Sunday and bringing the message as Teresa and I and our family were in Florida celebrating Hannah's graduation from high school. We had a great time. The weather was great. And just thank you, Larry, for being on call as I was away and covering for me. So our message this morning and the next few Sundays that we're going to be having up until our Lent series, they come from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to cover the entire Sermon on the Mount because you could take like more than a year to cover that entire message. But our theme for our messages is going to be Proverbs 27:19. There we go. As water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the person. What is in our hearts and what comes out of our heart is what people see, the actions we have, our attitudes. And this is going to be our theme. We're going to start with Matthew 7, 1-6 this morning. Do not judge so you won't be judged, for you will be judged by the same standard which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? Hypocrite. First take the beam of wood out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn and tear you to pieces. You look all around the world, we judge everything. You look at social media, everything is judged. We judge food, we judge travel, we judge people's opinions. Products we buy are judged. How many of you have looked at a rating on a product before you have purchased it? I have. I mean, it makes sense. You look, oh man, it keeps breaking all the time. But that's someone's judgment of the product that they bought. So how many of you do this? You go to a restaurant. Well, you judge people for going to a restaurant because maybe you can't afford to go to a restaurant. But you go to a restaurant, and from the moment you walked in, you're checking the boxes. You're judging the atmosphere. Is it too bright? Is it too dim? Is it too noisy? Is it too quiet? Is it too fancy? Is it too low class? You get to your table, you order your food, if you can understand the menu properly, right? How is that written? You judge the service of the wait staff. You judge the presentation of the food. You judge the temperature and the taste. Maybe you post some pictures if you really enjoy it. After you eat your food that you ordered, you walk away and you think, man, I could have made this better at home. We judge everything all the time, everywhere. And if you didn't like the food, you'd post a bad review. Or if you didn't like your service, you'd leave less of a tip. If you really didn't like it, you wouldn't go back. Or maybe you'd give a negative review. If someone asked you about your experience, you'd give a bad comment on what you experienced. It's so easy to pass judgment on somebody and different things. It's so easy to do, and I'm included in that. It's one of those things that we really have to pay attention to. Am I judging this? How is my attitude? What is my attitude? And so how can we go about living a life and not having a judgmental attitude all the time? Verses 1 and 2 of Matthew 7 are pretty clear, right? Do not judge so that you won't be judged, for you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. How we look at and treat others directly affects us. How we treat other people has an effect on us. Is that something you think about when you interact with other people? How I treat and judge them has a direct effect on me. Because we're going to be held accountable for every judgment that we make. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless." Man, everything we say and do is going to be judged when we stand before Jesus Christ. So why do we judge everything? Well, it comes down to our heart. Are we critical or are we compassionate? Are we kind or are we condemning? What is in our heart? Jesus, on his Sermon on the Mount, he goes and tells everyone, listen, hypocrites. How can you look at the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own? That's a heart issue. Comes back to our theme of Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the person. What people see is what is in our hearts. If we're judgmental and we're critical, that is really what is in our hearts. We have that log in our eye. The guy's yelling because the other guy has a splinter in his eye and he has a log sticking out of his own. Teresa and I ate at this diner. We had a really good time. We had good food. The price was good. The portions were large. But we had a hard time focusing on all that good stuff because the cleanliness of the place wasn't the greatest. That was a judgment. That was a judgment that we had. If only this place would be a little bit cleaner, this would be a great experience. We let that speck ruin our whole experience. We didn't know the situation. Maybe they didn't have enough staff to really help clean. Maybe they couldn't afford to pay someone extra to do extra cleaning. We don't know what was going on behind the scenes. And when I dig deeper into that restaurant analogy that I gave you earlier, we're not just judging things. We're judging people. When we make all those judgments, there's a person behind each thing that we're judging. A person made the food. A person brought it to you. A person cleaned your dishes. A person cleaned that building. Someone decorated and designed that building. We are judging people and not things. And it's so easy to look, hey, I'm just judging something. I'm not judging a person. But in reality, we're judging people. And why is that? Is that because I have a narrow focus? I judge because I have a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. I deserve that. I'm paying money for this, and I want it how I want it. Or do I do it to stroke my own ego, to make me feel better? It's so easy to judge somebody. And we're called not to judge people, or we're going to be judged. But how do we walk that fine line when we as Christians have to call something sin because it is sin and not judge somebody? We have to walk that fine line and know what is in our hearts. Will you turn with me to John chapter 8, 1 to 11? Then each one went to his house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he went to the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. Teacher, they said to him, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law of Moses, commands us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? They asked this to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted to question him, he stood up and said to them, the one who was without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No, Lord, she answered. Neither do I condemn you, said Jesus. Go from now on and do not sin anymore. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery to test Jesus. They wanted him to judge her because if he judged her by Jewish law so that she would be stoned, he would get in trouble with the Romans. And if he said, we can't do that because of the Roman law, the Jews would have been mad at him. They were trying to trap Jesus. They quoted the law of Moses saying that she should be stoned. But in the process of trying to trap Jesus, they only used half of the law that they should have been using. They quoted Leviticus 20:10. And it says that both the adulterer and adulteress are to be brought and judged. The man and the woman both are to be brought and dealt with. The scribes and Pharisees only followed half of the law. So where was the man at? Well, he was not there. Did Jesus judge the woman guilty? No, he did not. He told her to go and sin no more. Jesus compassionately pointed out her sin, but he did not condemn her. He did not judge her. See, Jesus came to save us and direct us to live a life that honors God in everything we do and to sin no more. Paraphrasing John 3:17, Jesus came not to judge the world, but to save it. We are to have the same attitude that Jesus did. Our job as a born-again believer, when our faith is in Jesus, we are to go into the world and point people to Jesus. We are not to judge them. That is not our job. Our job is to point people to Jesus. See, there will be a time when Jesus is coming back and he will judge everyone. That is his job. Revelation 20 talks about books being opened in the final judgment and everyone being judged for their work according to what is written in those books. It's not our place. It's not our job to pass judgment on anyone. If we judge others, we first have to look at ourselves and judge ourselves. How do we go about showing someone that there is sin in their life without judging them? First, we have to look at our own hearts and our own motives. Why do I want to point out that sin to them? It goes back to what is in my heart. Does it make me feel better if I point out a sin to them? Does it go back to my ego? It builds me up because I'm better than they are. Or do I really care in my heart that they are sinning and they are walking away from the Lord? Do I really care where they're going to spend eternity? And if I go to them with a humble, caring heart, a caring heart for the eternal soul, and after checking my own self to see if I have a log in my eye, I can point them to Jesus. Don't condemn them. Encourage them. And when we do that, we're not condoning the sin. We're pointing them to Jesus. We're pointing them in the right direction. See, we can so easily pass judgment by outer appearance, right? We don't look at who they are, how they got there. And when we do that, we become the Pharisees and the scribes being hypocritical. Because we have to build relationships with people so that they're able to hear when we go and point something out in their life. Because the instant I tell someone that they're a sinner and they're going to hell, if they don't turn to Jesus, I get muted. I get turned off and I get shut down, and they will never hear another word that I have to say. But if I have a relationship with someone, I'll have that opportunity to share the gospel and point them to Jesus, because that is the only way. It is Jesus. But if I attack them, condemning them, they'll just go somewhere else. Maybe they'll walk away from God completely because, man, if Christians act that way, I don't want to be one of those. And if I judge someone in that way, I'm being judged at the same time. So what can we do to fight this judgmental attitude that rises up in us? Start with the small things. When someone waiting on your table messes up, tip them extra. Tip them like they did a wonderful job. I remember having a waiter, he messed up like our order like 2 or 3 times. I tip them extra because I know everybody has a bad day. Everybody messes up. When someone cuts you off in traffic or is going really slow in the fast lane, pray for them. Check your attitude. Ask for forgiveness. Because if we have a forgiving heart, we will not be prone to judge others. And I had to do this in Florida, dealing with all the traffic and all the people. I was beginning to have a very bad attitude. We were sitting in traffic for 3.5 hours, trying to get across a bridge just to get ice cream. which we couldn't get because the ice cream shop was full because of all the people. I was beginning to have a very bad attitude. I had to repent. I had to ask God to forgive me for my attitude that was just building in me. If we remember where we came from and what we were forgiven of, judging others will be diminished so much that we won't even do it. We have to look at the person's heart and not their tattoos or their piercings or the language that they use or the situation that they came from. So in closing, if you struggle with judging others, look at people like Jesus does, as lost sheep, needing a shepherd. Show others who your shepherd is. Show them how he is leading you. And when we pass a judgment on someone, we are also being judged by the same criteria. Keep that in your mind. Keep that fresh in your mind. And when you feel that judgmental attitude coming up, just go to God and ask him to teach you how to love others and point out a sin in their life without judging them. Ask God to give you a heart for others. Ask God to give you a heart that you see people as that lost sheep. Do you think you can get mad at that sheep if it ran away? I think maybe a little bit, but then you'd be like, oh, it's so cute. How can I get mad at it? If we have an attitude where we love and cherish people, we will not judge them. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have been forgiven so much. And there's times that we forget this. Help us to be aware of our attitudes, our motives, our egos. Help us to see others inside the church and outside the church with a shepherd's heart, continually pointing them towards you. Help us to see the log in our own eye. Please remove that from us. Show us what your will is each day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward. Two quick announcements. There's a sign-up sheet for the men's retreat in either foyer. I encourage you to sign up. If the dollar amount attached to that is a problem, come see me, okay? Don't let that be the reason why you're not signing up to go along on the men's retreat. And also, sign-up sheets for our church directory. On Sunday mornings, they're going to be paper. During the week, they're going to be electronic. If you don't get a chance to sign up today and you'd like to, sign up on paper, please call Debbie, and she'll help you get signed up for that. Will you stand for the parting benediction? Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. God bless you. You're dismissed.